is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran, and I love Lifetime movies.
I'm Patrick Serrano, and I'm a Lifetime movie expert.
I'm Dan, and I despise Lifetime movies, and this is
the Deck the Hallmark podcast.
Lifetime Uncorked, crossover.
Crossover. So, I don't know. It's a confusing day.
We're confused. If you're listening,
because, yeah.
We're going to do the Deck the Hallmark rundown.
Yes.
But we have Patrick with us.
And we're covering a Lifetime movie.
It's a mess out there.
But it's with Palaha, who is our Hallmark boy.
Hallmark homeboy. That's right.
And we already do a thing called Deck the Lifetime Uncorked, so why wouldn't we do that? But
I watched the movie.
Dan hasn't seen the movie. He watched this one. Next week, we're doing one, and you're not going to watch that. So that's reserved. So that's why the logo here that people can see if they're watching is it is what you want it to be.
That's right.
Patrick's going to do the synopsis, like a Deck the Lifetime Uncorked. I don't know. Every day is a winding road, including today.
Today
is what I'm getting at. Patrick, how are you, buddy?
Great. You know, a cinematic Lifetime movie to talk about. This is amazing. I didn't know I was coming to the Oscars of Lifetime movies today.
It was an event, picture event.
Now, can I ask you this? It says this movie's re-airing a couple times. I think tonight, Wednesday night, there's an enhanced version. Have you seen this?
So
what does that mean?
Probably like they did an interview with Angie Harmon, and she's going to pop in like on commercial breaks and be like, in this scene, I looked amazing. In this scene, I was a hit woman. You know,
it's like pop-up video, but it's just
during the movie, right? It'll be
it's like, you know, on the caps, on the commercial caps.
What I was hoping for is that we would get to see Palaha's tush in the enhanced version, but what you're saying is that
it's out,
the tush is out.
Look, I think you'd have to give him a bonus, a booty bonus.
Booty bonus.
There is a booty. He already did it. Like, the shot has been shot.
Yeah, we know that.
I heard the shot has been shot, and I like threw my phone listening to that that interview. I was like, "What? Release the tapes, Lifetime! Release those tapes."
You don't get a lot of bums on, and by bums I mean booties. You don't get a lot of booties on it's obviously more than Hallmark, but still not booty, right?
It's basic cable. They can show booty, but Lifetime hasn't crossed that line yet. We're keeping it PG-13. You know, I think they'll get there.
Ever shown one before.
Bare booty.
No, we are more shirtless hunks, not booties.
Wow. Interesting. Hey, we found out this movie in its original airing was over 1 million viewers in June. That's a big number for Lifetime, right?
Absolutely. Especially for a non-holiday movie. And I was live tweeting this one, and I will say Twitter was popping.
What I don't know like how big of a deal Angie Harmon is, like as far as like a following. Does she have a huge following?
I was trying to tell Brand she's a big deal.
How big of a deal is she?
Here's the thing, guys. She was a big deal. And Bran, this might have been before your time. She was a Law and Order gal.
And then Rizzoli and Isles.
Yes. So what happened here is that Rizzoli and Isles, which I always call Lizzo and Isles for some reason, because, you know, I love Lizzo.
Oh, my gosh.
Who doesn't? Don't get me started.
Yeah.
You know, it is Pride Month. So anyways, can you think of anything gayer than Lizzo besides me? I mean, come on.
She's no Mandy Moore.
Top five gayest things. No, we won't do that on this show. But
so apparently they re-air the show on Lifetime a bunch in the past like a year. And it was so successful that Lifetime reached out to Angie and was like, hey girl, your show is doing really well in syndication on our network. Do you want to executive produce something or work on something? And basically Lifetime rediscovered Angie Harmon for the next generation.
That's fascinating. So they like were just looking at the numbers and they were like, let's just see if she wants to do something. And
I don't want to give anything away, but she hasn't lost a step. I mean, she just hasn't.
No, she's like exactly the same.
It's unbelievable.
So are you saying she hasn't really done much since?
Well, she did Law and Order, and then she did Lizzo and Isles, and right. that's pretty
she
much.
She hasn't done anything since she was in the Lizzo music video. I don't,
she was in Agent Cody Banks. Anyone? Right,
which
anyone?
Is where I know her from.
Yeah, exactly. I said that, and he was like, "Oh yeah, that's yeah. what I know him."
The adult that seduces Cody. Yeah, I know her. Yeah,
is Angie Harmon Rizzoli or Isles?
I think she is Rizzoli, and the only reason I know that is because the guy, one of the guys in this movie is from that show, and I think he plays her dad in that show.
Bruce McGill.
Bruce McGill, and we'll get to it.
You are correct. Angie Harmon is Jane Rizzoli.
Does Lizzo play herself?
Dude, I would. Yes. I love Angie Harmon, but I would love to watch a reboot of Rizzoli and Isles.
And it's Lizzo. Where
everything is the same, but Lizzo is now Rizzoli.
Hey, Queen Latifah is the equalizer, so just give Lizzo like 10 years.
Lizzo's walking around playing her flute, solving crime.
Absolutely. We'll write it for Lifetime.
Yeah.
I'm way too invested in this show that doesn't exist.
Oh man.
Because gosh, I would watch it. We are talking about this buried in Barstow, filmed right up the road. Did you know that?
And Charlotte, North Carolina.
Charlotte, right. Shelby, North Carolina. So real close to us. Would you do us the honor of maybe giving us a little synopsis of what happened?
Yes. I thought you'd ask, so I wrote one just in case, and then I texted you, hey, I wrote this, maybe I should read it. I'd be happy to do a quick little recap, and I think we say it goes a little something like this.
Yes.
Very good.
Great. I started it correct. Wonderful. So we have the movie. It begins with a young hit woman who is cleaning up a murder scene with a tissue or like a Kleenex or something. We cut to years later and we see that the woman is living like a low-key life. She's on the down low. She's a surly diner owner named Hazel King. That's our girl. And she is raising her daughter, Joy, who is not living up to her name. And she's going through like a rebellious teen phase. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, don't I?
Joy has a deadbeat but cute boyfriend named Travis, the guy from 13 Reasons Why. 13 Reasons Why? I don't know. He is from a bad family, bad part of town. So when Joy comes home with a black eye, we have Hazel getting really mad, and she pulls out her hit woman bag of tricks. And does she ever? She confronts Travis in like a garage or something about abusing her daughter, and she breaks his nose, duct tapes his arms, and throws him in the back of a car. Hazel drives Travis to a grave that she dug when she met him, which I think is intense. And she basically kicks him in the grave, and that's where we get buried in Barstow, because he is left for dead. Left for dead.
Technically not buried, though.
Buried. That's
technically,
right.
She did not put the dirt on top of him.
Okay, fair points. But, you know, it was implied. It was implied dirt.
It was implied,
you know? Implied dirt.
Classic. It's a classic implied dirt. Yeah.
So we're back at the diner. Hazel meets a handsome stranger. His name's Elliot, and she takes pity on him. She lets him shower in her outdoor shower.
No bum.
No bum, but she is totally watching while drinking some coffee. She offers him a job as a dishwasher simply because he's sexy AF. Huh. Someone call HR on that. That's not how we hire people. Strange things start happening around the diner, like a man taking photos of the new dishwasher. Hazel confronts Elliot about it, but he doesn't really want to spill the tea. So she breaks into the photo guy's motel, interrogates him, and learns that Elliot was a renowned surgeon who was convicted of manslaughter for getting drunk driving, like accident that killed his fiance. So sad. Don't drink and drive, everyone.
Don't do it.
Hazel doesn't really care about all that because she still has sexy time with Elliot, and they bond over their messed up lives. So that's nice. And then just when things are starting to look up for Hazel, you know, Travis out of the way, she has a new man. She gets a call from her old boss demanding she return and do a hit. So she goes to Vegas, and there she gets some table setting with this guy named Perry, who's probably Joy's dad. And she does this like Kill Bill stuff. She starts like killing all these people, taking out the boss, the security guards. And then finally she's like talking to the boss, and she's like, okay, this is it. I'm not doing this anymore. And she's like, see you later, dad.
Whoa.
Kills her own father.
Oh man.
Yeah, so Hazel goes back to her normal life at the diner. Joy is sad that Travis is gone, but then he shows up covered in dirt and bloody. He's alive.
He's alive.
No, he's not a zombie. He's a real boy. And it doesn't end there. You're like, okay, that must be the cliffhanger. No, no. There's a shootout in the back with the cook, Javier, and there are women being like human trafficked, and it's, you don't know what's going on. It's absolutely insane. Hazel does her hit woman stuff, starts flipping around and ricocheting bullets off like her wrist, like Wonder Woman, and it is absolutely crazy. She gets shot a couple times. Elliot runs out, puts pressure on the wound, and he's like, "Don't worry, I'll save you." And then to be continued.
And that was Buried in Barstow.
We
nailed it.
We nailed it.
Let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll break this movie down. I cannot wait to do so here on Deck the Hallmark Lifetime Uncorked Show program.
Crossover.
Wow. Oh, what a great break that was. Yeah. Top 10, I think.
Did you get you a breather, Patrick? I know that was a lot.
I took a sip of my Coke Zero, and I'm ready to go.
Yeah, you are. Let's talk about Buried in Barstow, part one, because it is implied there's a part two. And I want to hear your thoughts, Patrick. What's your hot take? What do you think about this movie?
So hot take on this movie is I was not looking forward to this movie.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
I wasn't. I know you all are a fan of, or you're actually like friends with Christopher Blaha, which is cool. But you know, he hasn't called me up on the phone. So I am an impartial voice here.
That's fair.
You know, do I think he's hot? Of course. Have I liked him in Hallmark movies? Absolutely. Do I know who he is? Yes. I've seen him around. I know this man. But I wasn't excited because, you know, like I said before, Lizzo and Isles, not my favorite show. I don't even know the name of it. So I was coming in just, you know, I knew that we were doing this podcast. I was ready to go. And then I found myself really invested in the story. I'm not a hit woman person. You know, I've seen Alias before.
Sure.
But that stuff is kind of scary. And like, I thought this was based on a true story going into it. So I was very concerned that this was a true story. But then once I realized that it was a work of fiction, I was here for it. I love a good revenge plot. And like the way they doled out information in this movie was not like a mystery movie. It was very much like a normal, like, thriller that you would see in like a cinema, you know, you'd see like at the movies. It was very much well-paced, well-written, top-notch TV movie, one for the books.
One for the books. Would it make a top 10 best Lifetime movies?
Yeah, I think it's one of the best ones I've seen in the modern era.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. There are classics, but this was not campy at all.
There was no camp in it.
No, this felt like this was heavy duty. Like they come out of the gate real strong with a lot of blood. And you don't see it coming. I love this movie to be clear. I thought I had an absolute blast. Like I'm like holding my breath multiple times, like on the edge of my seat. I can't wait to see what they do next. They introduce the trafficking storyline with like 15 minutes left to go. I'm like, are they introducing something else to this thing? Didn't see that coming and being the connecting point to the second one. I don't think Javier's involved, but it's also kind of unclear. Like, I don't know. I'm intrigued by what happens in the next one.
It's a lot of table setting that didn't feel like table setting. There was no exposition sister that was coming in. You know, the exposition sister that's like, hey, Jessica, how's your husband doing with the divorce and your daughter who's in boarding school? You know?
Yeah. No one was like, Javier, you're out of the trafficking gang.
You know that white van that you drive?
That was
Have you seen those others hanging around with their other SUV? They look like they could be dangerous. Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen there. The only thing that I would say, like even remotely critical about this movie, because there's not much for me to say that's critical, is it did feel like it was written and written really well. And then like someone came in and said, let's add some weird humor.
I'm going to take a lifetime pass.
Let me just try to add, sprinkle some stuff, because there are some amazing like one-liners, callbacks. Like when she pushes that kid in the grave, dude, calls back the thing that he said, like all of that is so good. And it happens multiple times in the movie where I'm like, that's really well written. And then they have these weird conversations with the people at the bar, and it like was so not well written. It was like,
yeah,
it was so different than the rest of the movie. Jarring. In tone and execution.
It reminded me of the Jungle Book, those like dodos that are like, hey, what do you want to do today?
Don't start that again.
And it's just, it's like, it's not like, one, I didn't really think that they worked, but two, it just felt like a completely different writing style altogether, which took me out of it like every time that happened. But aside from that, fantastic, amazing, one of the best things I've seen this year in general, because I just had such a blast with it.
There are some very like legit cinematic moments in this movie. Like when she goes after the boyfriend, that whole thing... It was something that could have been in the theater. Like that whole thing was great. And then you have things like these three dudes at the bar that you're like, it's almost like they were like, we have to still make this movie suck a little bit, right? Like we got to make it bad.
It's too good.
Like we got to do this bit.
We don't want people forgetting that they're watching Lifetime.
And then I just felt like there was so much that I enjoyed about it that the end just felt kind of stupid to me. Like it all of a sudden, you know, there's just a shootout in the back when the cliffhanger of the boyfriend still being alive would have been plenty. That would have been plenty enough. And we throw this whole, like, we're not talking about a plot line that's just like an extra murderer. We're talking about trafficking. Yeah. Like, we just threw it in there. Like, so
that means next movie, like, we're coming into the movie, Joy's missing. Like the boyfriend took her, or
right.
She went with him, and the she
Rizzoli is been shot twice.
Shot twice. He's about to do heart surgery on her, from best I gather. And we just saw human trafficking.
So
that's a lot going into a movie.
To set your expectations, though, guys, this is Lifetime, so human trafficking comes up willy nilly.
So do you think that was added too? Do you think that
That was a Lifetime note for sure.
Interesting. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a lot of plot points to have going out of a movie into a second one. Like, this is just...
So rarely do you get to see in a TV movie such a singular, devoted focus on a character being well-written and well-played. Angie Harmon looks great. Great performance. Palaha doesn't try to steal any scene. No. He knows he's not the show here.
He's so good at that.
And he's great in it. And so I hated the fact that we have this like trying to be better serial killer to protect her daughter and this whole like crime family that she's tried to separate from. I don't need the three knuckleheads at the bar and the traffic. Like,
but what if what if those two storylines are connected?
Maybe they'll make it that
like
way.
He's involved in crime. They say it multiple times, the family's involved in crime. Like they could be a connected.
When this was good, oh my goodness, was it good? I just like couldn't believe it. And when it was bad, it was real bad. But like, this is one of the best.
But it was rarely bad.
Yeah, this is the best thing I've seen in a TV movie this year. I don't think it's particularly close either. Like it's great.
Yeah, and we're coming in this with a little bit of uncertainty from Lifetime, right? They are taking a chance on Angie Harmon. They didn't know whether they signed her for a 4-picture deal for this. So she could do 4 pictures in this series, but they wanted to see how the first one would perform, because they don't do the like Hallmark, you know, recurring movies like with the same actors and stuff. Yeah. Lifetime doesn't do that. So this is a risk for them, and I think it is a risk that paid off.
Yeah, I'd say. Yeah, you don't get a lot of the series. And I feel like the reoccurring people that I know of on Lifetime, it feels like it, and at least in the past, it's been mainly like Christmas reoccurring. Like Mario Lopez, I don't see him on the network. Aside from Christmas, Melissa Joan Hart, she's in next week's movie. Well, but like, aside from that, does she do many non-Christmas movies?
Right, I'm saying characters. Like, you're not getting the Lacey Chabert, being a detective or whatever.
Yes,
I don't know what those movies are, but Lifetime doesn't do that.
Yeah, gotcha.
For anything except for Kelly Rowland.
I tell you what punctuated how good this movie was seeing a trailer for that dumb horror movie with Melissa Joan Hart. Like, oh my goodness. I saw that. I was like,
we're covering that next week on Back to Lifetime on Quartz. An official episode of that.
Not the crossover.
No, not the crossover of the crossover. No.
Deck the Lifetime Uncorked Hallmark.
Uncorked.
You know, if you want to see Melissa Joan Hart acting through her Botox, tune in this weekend. It's going to be great. I can say that because I have Botox. So,
is that how that works?
That actually is.
If you have Botox, you can say they tell you that
as you walk. Wow. As you walk out. Well,
and I've acted through my Botox when I was in a Lifetime movie. I had to emote my face, but I couldn't. So,
wow.
I just looked amazing.
Yeah, well,
that's what was important.
You did look amazing. I do remember that.
Yeah,
actually, I had to modulate my voice and be like, "I'm sad. I'm sad."
No more questions. Didn't you say no more questions?
Yeah, he does. He says no more questions.
Yeah,
and you crushed it.
And you look like you were in your 20s, Patrick.
Oh my gosh!
And so I think that shows you that it all worked out.
Hey, who's to say I'm not in my 20s?
I am, but you're right. That's fair. That's fair. You could be.
More than fair. More than fair. Let's do all the feels, which is interesting with this movie, but there's lots of different definitions for what a feel is. It's not necessarily like, a fall leaf fell in a girl's hair and it really like did something for us. It can be anything. So, Patrick, what type of feels did you get a specific moment that gave you feels in this movie?
Yes. So I was going to say, Christopher Plaha being so naked in this movie was giving me like the steamy feels. But I'm not going to go there because we already talked about it. So I'm shifting on the fly.
Pivot.
And I'm going to say I really got the feels with that revenge plot at the beginning. Like, getting the boyfriend, like what was the character's name? Hazel confronting Travis in that garage, and just the writing there was just so good. And she was like really undercutting him, and he was like trying to be a jerk. And she's like, "Ha, you have no idea what I'm capable of." And then following through with that revenge, it was so satisfying because you have people throughout your life who talk to you rude or like whatever, and you cannot go take them to the grave you buried when the day you met them because you knew they were trouble. You can't do that in real life. So this was so satisfying to see. And like Travis, he's not a good guy. We know that. We have no sympathy for him. So he got what he deserved. And Lifetime, if Lifetime does anything right, it's revenge. And I really was living vicariously through that. It's what I needed. It was I feel like I worked through some stuff,
Yeah, yeah. I've never dug a grave the day that I met somebody, but now that I know that it's an option, like it's just good. Like I've never thought to do it, but now that I know that you can,
you think you're going to take advantage of that?
I don't know where I would do it. That's my biggest hurdle. It's location.
Yeah.
It's all location. In this economy, in this real estate market,
you can't have just a grave plot for people you want to kill.
Well, and she says it's a lot of work to dig a grave.
It
she
is.
Mentioned,
especially she mentioned that. That looked like it was a canyon. It looked like she was digging through
perfect
rock.
Perfect corners on it, too, for her to dig it. That was impressive.
Yeah. Well, it was beautiful work. She's not her first time digging a grave the day that she met somebody.
Angie Harmon has definitely dug a grave. Are you kidding?
100% she has.
No doubt about it.
My feels was the true twist to me in this movie that I legitimately didn't see coming was the bad guy being her dad.
Yeah.
Like hey, I'm calling you back into action, back to hit woman. Like her killing him and right before she shoots him saying, calling him dad. Like I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I yelled out whoa multiple times in this movie, but that was the loudest whoa. It was truly a twist.
Plaha being in on like working
another
for
whoa.
Bruce McGill.
Another
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. So many twists.
They haven't even had the conversation yet. She says we have to have a conversation later as she walks out and gets shot. Like,
that's right.
There's so much going into the second movie that is like, that's a lot of movie.
It's a lot of movie
that they've set up for next movie. Dan?
I hate to go back to the scene where she almost buries dude alive, but the monologue that she gives when she throws that dude in the grave. Holy cow. That was just poetry in motion. Everything about it. I loved every second of it. Like, I would watch that character. I would watch that Angie Harmon character in a procedural, and it would be miles better than Rizzoli and Isles. Like, she's a hit woman for good. She's like a Dexter, but without the psychosis.
Is it better than,
like,
Lizzo and Isles?
Ooh, I don't know. Lizzo and Isles holds a special place in my heart, even though it's not real.
Right.
But watching her get, like, find somebody that's, like, been an abuser or whatever and going and killing them and, like, doing a speech every week, I'd watch that show. She was great, man. She did. She was awesome. And that scene was just, no, it was perfect. So great.
Yeah. Do you know who wrote this?
Shout out. I could look it up. We got to shout out Timothy Granaderos.
Oh yeah.
Who's the guy? Because he was, like, so good at, like, going from, like, jerk, like, I'm not afraid of you, to, like, being totally terrified, like, acting is reacting, and, like, him reacting to her, like, oh wow, she's really gonna kill me. That, like, that kicked it up a notch for like the severity. The writer of this movie is Thompson Evans.
Do you know if he's done another one of these movies?
I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah, you're movie called
Well,
Hitless.
let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll find out what Patrick was able to dig up and more here on TikTok. Welcome back to Research with the Boys. Patrick, what were you able to dig up today on the internet?
So this, our writer of the movie, which his name is scrolling. Thompson Evans. He has written only a few movies, and one of them is called Hit List, which sounds like a hit movie. Not a hit movie. Like a,
Yeah, no, I get you. I get you.
So yeah, so that something called Reckoning and something called One Giant Leap. So these all sound like they could be scary thriller movies.
I'm gonna tell you a title of a movie. You tell me if it's a hit movie or a
hit movie.
Hit movie.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Got it.
All right. I'm gonna get you. Is it a hit movie?
Or it's a hit movie. It's the second one.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for playing, everybody.
What was the title?
I'm gonna get you.
Oh, okay, I got it.
Like, what happens if there's a hit serial killer movie? Like a movie that's like it was a hit, but it's also about a serial killer. Like, what would we do then?
We wouldn't do that.
Okay, got it.
I love this game. It's great.
Maybe we'll bring it back here in a minute. It's time for the Wait What. As far as show, we talk about what in this movie made us go Wait What. I don't know if there was a ton to go around, but we'll see what happens. Patrick, what you got?
So the Wait What that I have is at the very beginning when she is the teenager doing the hit. Like, she was seriously, I had no clue what was going on at that beginning. I was, like, so confused. And, like, there's a bloody man, like throat slash scary. And she just, like, gets a tissue. And I'm like, is she going to clean the murder scene? No, she just, like, opens the door with the tissue and then leaves. Like, that's supposed to show me she's a efficient hit woman.
Yeah.
No, she should have had gloves on. She should have been, you know, a tissue on the door. I mean, that's what I do when I leave the bathroom, and I'm just a normal person.
Right. That's right. It's post-COVID. We're still doing it. We're trying to be safe here. To that point, I still am unclear if she's the slowest dresser ever or if it was in slow-mo. Like, when she was putting her clothes on, I don't know if it was
that's
in slow motion or not.
That's a lifetime slow-mo situation, right?
Well, and also, like, probably it wasn't slow-mo, but it's Lifetime. Angie Harmon should have been playing teen version of herself with a wig.
It took me a second to be like, so that's Angie Harmon in the past. Like, she had to connect that dot for me with narration.
We should have had, like, the Spice Girls playing, like, you know, we should have made it real 90s.
Yeah.
So I understood what was happening.
That's right.
That's right. You got to make things clear. I do want to know what was going on with the hotel that the investigator was staying at with the weird purple and green neon lights that were aiming up
inviting.
On the outside walls of the rooms themselves. It was very bizarre. It was very neon. They were like, well, neon, get the neon lights out. That's a neon. That'll show that stuff is interesting over here, right? When in doubt, neon it up.
Yeah.
I do also want to, like, this investigative reporter, journalist guy, whatever, is doing some top secret stuff but he does not have a password on his laptop.
No, no, no.
You can open that sucker up, right open, and start reading things. Come on, buddy. You should know better.
Should know better.
Lifetime never has passwords, just so we know.
It's a rule. Why would you? No. Especially when you're investigating.
Or if they do, it's written on a post-it right under the keyboard.
That's right.
As it should be.
Password. Dan?
Is she even trying to run from her past at all? Like, I love this character, and it doesn't bother me a bit, I want to be clear, but for someone who's like, I left the killing life a long time ago, what did he do? I'm going to murder him. Like, she doesn't even, there's not even like an attempt to be like, no, let cooler heads prevail. Let's call the, no, she is like, I used to be a serial killer, but I totally still am going to kill you. She doesn't, there is not even an appearance that she has created a life void of killing people. And once again, not complaining, just want to say that it's not super accurate. Second of all, look, I'm happy that you started a diner 17 years ago and you run the diner. Don't call it a barbecue place. Don't do it. No self-respect. You can't call something Bridges Barbecue with a giant pig and then the menu is like patty melts and french fries. That is not barbecue. One or the other, guys. You can't. That's misleading. And you get shut down, especially in the middle of nowhere, right?
No.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it was just a cool sign they found. They're like, oh, look at this cool sign.
It was a real, like, it's a real restaurant in Shelby, North Carolina, if you guys want to go. It's called.
Then why not have her run a barbecue restaurant?
It did seem like a very easy pivot. The full name is Bridges Barbecue and Lodge. So the lodge part is the patty melts. That's actually, that's how they, you
give
know,
me a lodge patty melt.
Give me please. A lot. Give me a, I'll take some pork rinds on the barbecue menu and then patty milk on the lodge.
Yeah.
Well, they wanted okay to there. Be a diner because she had to wear that yellow diner waitress outfit.
It's got to be one or the other. You can't do both.
She can't wear that at a barbecue restaurant.
If I walk into a barbecue.
The costumer was like, the wardrobe department's like, sorry, this is what I have.
My hands are tied.
She has a cop friend that goes and picks up her daughter who's about to just snort a rail of coke. And instead, the cop picks her up and brings her back. And he says this line, he says, that was the most excitement I've seen on a night tour in, well, a long time. So I guess my question is, what? He literally broke up a bunch of teenagers drinking and doing drugs. That can't be high up on the list. But that to him,
it felt like he was implying that they had had a night together at some point. Like there was a weird vibe there. Did you pick up the weird vibe?
Yes, I did. Like, I thought they were going to get together for a while, or I thought maybe he was Joy's dad or something. I don't know what the cop guy was, because then when Palaha came on, I was like, he's who I'm rooting for in this movie, not this cop.
But the cop guy literally said it like this.
He was like,
that's the most fun I've had on a night tour since.
Well, a long time.
Yeah, like, who says it like that?
Yeah, it was weird.
Also, like,
It'll be revealed in the sequel,
I'm sure.
Speaking of weird quotes that belong in Lifetime movies, but that doesn't mean they make sense, Palaha looks up at Harmon and goes, secrets we tell in the dark, they don't count in the daylight. Yes, they do. They do. The secret, if it's a fact, it's a fact any time of day. It is. I'm sorry. It just is. Mm-mm. I mean, it worked. The line worked. They ended up right there on the old diner table. But, you know, I'm saying that's not how secrets actually work.
Yeah.
Is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that's all
fair.
I got.
That's fair.
It's time for What the Lifetime. It's where we wonder what could have been. Maybe have and give some clarity to questions that we still have. What are you still wondering about or that you hope maybe you find out in the second one, Patrick?
Well, I'm hoping we get some booty. I hope that footage, there's a flashback to, you know, the
just time as booty.
Sexy time, and it's just the booty. So I'm hoping that is cleared up for me.
Free the booty.
You know, been waiting so long for that booty to be out in the world. But no, I'm excited to see where they take the whole Joy storyline. I think there's a lot of stuff, you know, like, the teen trope, like that poor actress didn't have much to do. So I'm hoping she gets a little bit more time to show that she's not just like an annoying teen. And then, you know, what's better than a mother like tracking down a daughter in a Lifetime movie. Like that's Lifetime movie canon. So there's no way they can go wrong with Angie Harmon screaming like, give me back my daughter.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great. So the stakes are high. They set themselves up for like, I mean, it could be terrible, but they have such high stakes that it's going to be at least entertaining.
I don't know how you can top some of the scenes in the first one. Man. They were that good.
Yeah, they really were.
I don't expect them to either. Yeah. Like, it's Lifetime. They're going to drop the ball. I mean, they let you go. They had you, and then they sold it to Netflix, yeah. And then Netflix ran with it. So Lifetime has a bad track
That's
record.
That's unbelievable. I forgot that. Man.
Yeah.
It's just so stupid.
So this is like a TV 14, what the Hallmarks are just, or what the Lifetime. So keep that in mind, people that are listening.
It's probably my same one.
So she says this line the day after the event in the restaurant. She says, I've never done that before.
Yep.
And this is mine. And he says, have you never had sex in the restaurant, or have you never had sex with
one of your dishwashers?
And she says, one of the two.
One of those things. Yeah.
Which one?
I'm assuming
my money's on the
dishwasher. She's never had sex with a dishwasher.
Because I don't think you just
own a diner for 17 years.
She seemed very like yes, we're going to have sex on this table. Like that seems like something like I don't know how you get there without like it like some sort of conversation happening first. So she must have done that before, right?
Yeah, I mean, we know her hiring practices are sketchy, but I don't think she's, you know, out there running a dishwasher sex ring. That's probably a different Lifetime movie.
Dishwasher sex ring. It comes out in July.
Yeah, it does.
Actually be Deadly Dishwasher Sex Ring because we got to have the alliteration, you know.
Right, of course.
Do you have another one?
That was mine, for sure. One of those two.
One of those two. I think she's definitely.
And then who wrote the dumb bit about the larger man always wanting health food, which I thought was the dumbest part of this movie by a mile. Like, why did we do this?
Any other name like attributed to the script or
no? Nope. You know, Thompson Evans has a twin named Evan Thompson.
Okay. Yeah.
That's how twins work. Actually. Yep. That's actually always how twins work. It's the same name, but inverted, which I think is great. We did it, everybody. Congratulations. Buried in Barstow, the Deuce, hopefully soon, hopefully later this year. I'd love that to happen.
That would be fantastic.
The Deuce buried in.
Yeah, I have no info on like when. I mean, I know that they're approved for a second movie, so we'll see when it comes out.
Buried in Barstow 2, Buried Alive, because he's still alive.
He's still alive.
The guy is.
True.
Yeah. That's something we can keep workshopping.
Yeah, let's keep
Patrick, have fun at Mandy Moore tonight, the concert you're going to where you see Mandy Moore sing.
Yeah.
My best friend, Mandy Moore, singing her little heart out.
That's right. You have fun. You just take lots of pictures for us, okay?
Oh, photos aren't allowed. I'm kidding. I have no idea, but...
Oh, that got me. That's a classic 9:30 club situation. Until next time, maybe the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.